ladies and gentlemen, friends and rivals. My name is Jared, and with me today, again, 2 weeks in a row, the one, the only, the silent, Josh Taylor.
Hello, hello, Mr. Ironclad Snyder himself.
Yes, sir. We will be your hosts for the episode. We are honored and grateful that you've joined us at our table. Here at the Game Table Podcast, we take a look at various board, card, and other tabletop games. We give an overview, provide a little insight on how to play, and share some of our thoughts, all in an attempt to give you an idea of how well it would fit for you and your table. Today, we will be looking at Slay the Spire, the board game, designed by Gary Dworetsky, Anthony Giovanetti, and Casey Yano. Artwork created by Bruce Brenais, Jose David Lanza Sebrian, and Annihilus Dorta, and published by Contention Games.
Slay the Spire, the board game, is a competitive deck-building roguelike adventure for 1 to 4 players. It is a board game version of a popular 2019 video game, which itself was an attempt to turn a deck-building board game into a video game. You choose a hero and then fight your way through the spire, collecting new cards, upgrading those cards, obtaining relics and potions, and ultimately attempting to defeat the boss of all 3 acts. If you can do that, you, my friend, have slain the spire.
Whoa. Josh, 2019, really?
Yeah.
This game's been around in video game form for 5 years?
Yeah. So the guy who made it, they were big fans of Dominion.
Okay.
And they were
so it's just a vicious back and forth.
Yeah. These were like board game guys. And they wanted to create a, because there have been attempts to make deck building video games before.
Yeah.
But I think this was the first time that one was really successful. And a lot of people have tried since this time to make other games like this.
Sure.
And there are some good ones. I will give it to the people who have tried, but I always come back to Slay the Spire. It's still the best one.
Okay, so it's confession time. Before this board game was announced, I had zero knowledge that Slay the Spire existed. None. And the only reason I even found out about this game is it happened to make Gen Con's hot list.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, oh, that looks cool. Mm-hmm. What's that about?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden found out, oh, it's based off of an IP off of this video game.
My experience finding out about this game was that one night about a year ago.
Okay.
I just, you know, playing some Slay the Spire, as one does.
As you do.
And I thought, man, I wish there was a board game version of a, like, could there be a game that was like Slay the Spire, like a board game? So I just went and searched, like, games like Slay the Spire, but that are board games.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, this game found link comes up and it's like Slay the Spire, and it was getting ready to ship.
It was
one of the last days
that
I could late back, and I think it was the last Kickstarter or game found that I backed before I started being a good boy.
I'm so proud of you, by the way.
Thank you.
I just looked at your collection. It's refined.
It's a meager. Yes.
It inspires me to refine mine.
Lots of culling.
Oh man! But you brought this one in full collector's edition.
I love Slay the Spire. I mean, built for this episode specifically.
Sure.
Show.
I knew I wanted to review this game, and I knew you had to be a part of it. And then as I did more research and saw from a lot of different people that a lot of different people recommended it as a 2-top, I was like, well, this is a match made in heaven. So we'll do this. I love it.
I'll tell you what, without mods, the Slay the Spire video game is a single player game. And the main appeal of this version, the board game implementation, is that it's a multiplayer game.
Sure.
I don't think I would want to do this solo. The whole fun of us playing that was getting to do it together.
You're saying in board game. Okay.
Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah.
See, that's interesting because as we were playing, my thought was, oh, I could play this game solo. Like I would have fun doing that.
Yeah.
And maybe I just need to get the app. Maybe that's just the way to do it, to hit that itch without having to.
It's too much setup for just one person. But
we'll
get into all that.
We'll get into all that. Okay. So maybe I'm the only one. Lord willing, I'm the only one that doesn't know about this game. But can you give a brief, like, just rundown of what Slay the Spire is in app form? Like, you don't have to go through all the intricacies, okay, but just the basic.
Yeah, well, basically, it's one of those, like, it's a deck-building roguelike game. So you pick a character and you start your way up the spire and you just fight different enemies and you'll encounter different events and you get to upgrade your cards and buy new cards and stuff. And you're just constantly adding to your deck and kind of refining your deck. The enemies get harder as you go. If you die, you just start back from the beginning and you don't get to retain any of your deck or anything like that. Really, okay, the roguelike part of it is really just the wisdom that you gain every time you die. Okay. And what makes Slay the Spire so good is that it's so well balanced and the synergies there are just so many different synergies with all the different cards. There's so many different types of decks you can create. You know, you might have a card you like to pick, but it might pop up one time when you have a deck that doesn't work with that card. So you have to be very disciplined to say, for example, tonight while we were playing, I had the opportunity to grab a rare card and I actually didn't take it.
Yeah.
Which ultimately, even though we ended up losing, was still the right choice.
You told me it was a pro gamer move.
Yeah, it was a pro gamer move. The not so pro gamer move was not taking as many block cards as I needed to.
Yeah.
But other than that, it was a pro gamer move.
My striker was very much about striking and that was not great in the end.
Well, all the heroes have different things that are good about them. And you were playing yours to his strengths. You were playing the Ironclad, yep, lots of quick bursts of just like attack, attack, attack.
Yep.
And I was playing mine. I was doing, for people familiar with the game, I was a poison deck. I was just trying to lay on the poison as much as I could.
Were you ever?
Yeah. But yeah, the video game, you know, you go through three acts. Every time you finish an act, you heal all of your health. And so you're basically just trying to get to the end of each act, beat the boss, and then you get to start at act two and then act three. And if you get to get through act three, then you win, quote unquote. But there is more to the game, but I won't spoil all of it.
Sure. So I know in the board game, there's four heroes you can choose from?
Yes.
Okay. Is it that way in the video game?
Yeah, there are four.
There's four.
Ironclad, Silent, Defect, and Watcher.
Man, and they haven't expanded on that?
Well, when the game first came out, there were only two. They added the third guy, Defect, and then later they added the Watcher, who is the most kind of busted of the four of them.
Sure. Okay.
The easiest to win with.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. Very cool. So, have you been playing since 2019?
I think I got it a year and a half ago, maybe.
Okay, so not new, but not OG either.
Yeah.
Got it.
I've been playing for a while. For people who know Slay the Spire well, I have beaten the heart at Ascension 20 with Ironclad, but not with any of the other characters yet. I'm working on the Silent right now.
That sounds pretty cool. Well, we're going to talk about the board game tonight. So before we kind of talk about our thoughts, why don't you give us an overview of how to play?
Absolutely. Each player selects one of the four available characters, each with a unique starting deck and abilities. The game progresses through three acts, each increasing in difficulty. To play, players choose a path to take on the map, and paths are randomized each game, so no two spires or acts will ever be the same. The various rooms encountered include enemy fights, shops, campfires, or mystery rooms. When entering a battle, an enemy is drawn from the encounter deck. Each player starts with a set amount of energy per turn, usually three, used to play cards from their hand. Cards can be attacks, skills, or powers that deal damage, provide buffs or debuffs, or apply status effects. The players go first, attacking enemies in any order, and after all players finish playing cards, the enemies then attack, starting with the top row and heading down. Enemies take turns attacking, blocking, and using special abilities. The goal is to reduce the enemy's health to zero before they defeat the players. If any players are defeated, the game is over. Everything resets, and the game starts back at the beginning of Act 1, and you have to reset a bunch of stuff.
Yes.
After winning a battle, players can gain gold, new cards, potions, and relics that provide bonuses. This is the main way to become more powerful in the game. There are other ways as well, though. Players can upgrade cards at rest sites to make them stronger, or in shops or mystery rooms, they can remove cards from their deck. Players must carefully balance their deck size, as bloated decks can dilute strong card combos. Some cards have synergies with relics or status effects, encouraging strategic deck building. Shops allow players to spend gold on new cards, potions, and relics, as well as removing cards, which I mentioned earlier. Campfires provide an opportunity to rest, which heals health, or to upgrade cards. The choice is yours. Players advance through three acts, facing stronger enemies and bosses, and the final boss at the top of the spire must be defeated to win. If any players hit zero HP before reaching the tippy top or during the final boss fight, the game ends in failure. However, if you are successful in staying alive and defeating the final boss, you slay the spire and win the game. Once you have slain the spire, you will find that the game contains a lot of secrets, including mysterious keys that might lead you to an additional act of the game and the boss fight to end all boss fights. Whoa. But as that great sage of our hobby, Rodney Smith, might say, I'll leave that for you to discover on your own. That's how you play Slay the Spire, the board game.
Did you just get to scratch something off your bucket list?
Yeah, I did.
Very good. Love that. Oh, man. Okay, so here's my first question for you before I jump into the conversation.
Okay.
The artwork, does it parallel to the...
It's the exact same
artwork. It's the exact same artwork?
Yeah. When a card pops up in the game, I at least knew in general what it was going to do. Now, there are a lot of differences. They've done a lot in this game to make it a board game.
Okay.
Because, In Slay the Spire, the video game, you start with like 70 or 80 health.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Yeah. So because, when the game is doing all that math for you,
you can
deal
all
50 damage in a turn. You know what I'm saying?
And it feels cooler.
Yeah. But to go back to your original question, the artwork is the exact same. It is the artwork from the video game.
Well, and like you said, you recognize cards.
Yes.
Because even when we played, you're like, oh, you got to do that
because before I even, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you didn't even know what it read.
And something we hadn't even touched on at all yet is that each character has a completely different deck.
Which is cool.
Completely different.
Yeah.
Yeah. And one of the reasons this game is just so well balanced for a deck building board game is because the game has been balanced over years from all this playtesting. This game was in early access on Steam for a long time. Mm. They had a Discord where people could submit feedback and they changed cards. Even after the game was released, they were still nerfing cards and upgrading them and stuff like that. So just over years and years, the game has been balanced and they've taken all of that into this game. So I think that's why a lot of board gamers I think there was hype early, and then now as it's been out for a while and people have gotten to play it, it's like, oh, hang on. No, this is actually like a really well put together game, well balanced game.
Sure. No, it was a lot of fun and I didn't know anything about it. And that was part of what was drawing me in, is that it's sitting at an 8.7 out of 10 on BGG right now.
Yeah.
And you know, you're always curious, like how much of that is Kickstarter backers just carrying
right.
it and how much of that is the actual game.
Yeah.
And then to add to that, I have no stake in this theme at all. Like it's just another fantasy game for me. So I was curious how it was going to draw me in. And I really, from an artwork perspective, it has this like very quirky mix of taking itself seriously from the hero's perspective.
Yeah.
But then like some of the monsters are super
goofy. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
So it was a very interesting mix and I definitely liked it. I thought it was really cool.
Yeah.
But no, that's cool what you said about them having taken so much time to balance everything, because it's not just one deck that's unique to you.
Right.
There's three decks per hero because you have your starting deck.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have the items. You have, what is it?
The commons and the uncommon cards, and then you have the rare deck.
Yeah. So you've got a common and uncommon deck that's all together and shuffled up, and you're drawing those probably like four or five or six times in an act where you're pulling new cards in. Occasionally you're getting into the rares, and all of those are tied to your deck. So every player has this thick stack, and it's thick. I mean, I want to say
it's a big old boy. Yeah,
it's like 75 cards.
Yeah,
for the uncommon and common, which is crazy. I mean, if you're gonna do something like that, they did it right, because there's not only does it feel balanced, like what I could do is very different from what you could do.
Yes,
but learning how to work together in that was a really nifty trick.
That's why it's felt like such a bummer for so long that it's a single player video game, because it's like, man, if these guys could work together, this would be a lot of fun. And so getting to experience that now as a board game has been great, because it is really fun to play as the Silent. Like tonight I played as the Silent, you played as the Ironclad. So I'm basically like, look, we just have to keep me alive so I can keep just throwing poison on this guy, because that's going to deal damage every turn.
Exactly.
And so you were helping me by giving me block, and you were doing the additional damage that was needed so that my poison was enough to kill him. It's really cool.
And that kind of makes more sense for what you're saying earlier about not wanting this to be solo, because you have that already in app form.
Right.
And you'd rather have the multiplayer experience.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, that makes sense. And that was honestly the biggest draw for me in coming into this game, was seeing almost immediately the various combinations. Even within one hero, you've got like three or four paths that you take.
Yes.
As you're building your deck. Mm-hmm. And you really want to kind of commit to a path, because otherwise your deck's going to get all jumbled.
Right.
But if you commit to that path, man, it starts to sing.
Yeah.
And I mean, we saw that tonight in your poison deck, because we were stacking poison like it was candy. Mm-hmm. It was crazy. Mm-hmm. I think the other thing too, and I said this because I had been watching how to play videos before we played this for the first time. And when I sat down for the first time to play it, I said, so I'm very weary of what I just watched, because it feels so simple. But I know it's not that simple.
Yeah.
But it has this nice balance, right? Of playing the game makes sense, and it's very streamlined and very straightforward, but it's difficult. Yeah. Like we were cruising, and then all of a sudden we hit a wall and we're like, oh, here's the fight.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. And that's happened a few times.
Yeah.
So, and I haven't won this game yet, so definitely something to keep coming back to.
Yeah.
And I love that about a co-op. The first time we played, I thought we were just going to cruise right through it. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what it felt like. I was like, oh, like I've got my deck online. He's definitely got his deck online because he's played several times now. So now we're just, I don't see how we lose. And then we found it. And I was like, oh, I get it now.
Yeah. That's the full Slay the Spire experience. You're not going to go cruising around until you've earned it. And even then,
which is great though, that's perfect for a co-op. You want that.
Yeah. I'll tell you what too, a lot of what is fun about Slay the Spire is that those synergies that you're looking for in your deck, a lot of the times it's just staying alive long enough that you're getting enough new cards that you can find what you need.
Sure.
Because sometimes you get lucky and the first three cards you get to draw are like, oh, this is perfect. This is the exact three I needed. Now I'm going to cruise. But a lot of times it's not that way. And so what separates a good Slay the Spire player from like a really good one, I would say I'm somewhere in the middle, is basically taking like the less sexy card at the start, because you know, like, look, that card is fun in act two when I can use it. And maybe if I take it now, I can just treat it like a curse card and I just don't play it.
Yeah.
But it's much better to take this card that deals, you know, double damage, just because that's going to get me through that first elite fight. And sure, if I don't survive that elite fight, I'm never going to get to
that. Doesn't matter.
Two, so
that's right. It's interesting too. So this is, I'm going to kind of bounce around a little bit. Mm-hmm. The map of deciding which path you want to go, because you essentially start in a simpler fight, and then it branches out into these multiple choices, right, of what you want to do. And we've explored lots of different ways of going about it, where you can either take the fight head on, or you can kind of navigate around it. And if you do that, there's less conflict. So you're more likely to get to the end of the act with more health, but you don't have as much stuff.
Exactly.
You're just kind of stuck with whatever you walked into.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're fighting, yeah, your HP might be a little bit lower, but I've got cash.
Exactly.
And I've got more cards that I've pulled.
Right.
And upgraded.
It might be worth it to go into a boss fight with, you know, half your health, if the reason you have half your health is because you got all those relics you needed and you've upgraded all your cards. You know, one good card upgrade, depending on the boss, and that's part of it too, is once you know the game really well, you can see what boss is coming and say, okay, I need block for this guy. Or, you know, I just need to blow this guy out quick. So I just need as much attack. Do I take a block card maybe once, or do I just make sure I can blow this guy out in three turns? What's going to be my best option? That's the first thing in playing Slay the Spire where you realize, oh, this is a special game, because you think, okay, I need to, I'm going to avoid the hard stuff and just get up to the top. But you realize, yeah, you know what? I might get there, but I'm going to get crushed, because the whole point of the game is that you've got to scale up slowly, slowly, and then all at once.
The other thing that made me realize that you really have to think about what you're doing. We hit a certain boss in Act 2 on one of our games where neither one of us really built for it. And you had told me it was just kind of a harder boss anyways. But on one hand, you want your deck to sing and do what it's supposed to do. But then what happens when you run into the antithesis of your deck?
Exactly.
And you can't do anything to defend yourself.
Yeah. So you have one act, basically, to get ready for that guy.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because you built your whole deck based on Act 1. So, for example, with Ironclad, with the guy that you play as,
sure.
The strategy normally with the Ironclad is just build up your damage and your attack as quick as you can to beat the first guy with no problem. And then as soon as you get in Act 2, then you start really looking for those synergies, but really just starting to scale up that block. Like as tonight, that's something specifically I should have told you. Like, hey, look, now that we're in Act 2, you should start taking those block cards.
And that's interesting, right? Because I drew a golden ticket really early in our first act, and I pulled a defense card, and we decided, well, it's probably too early. And so I had to slough that. And then that was probably the best defense card I saw the whole game.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that was the right decision.
Yeah.
Because I feel like we handled Act 1 so well.
Mm-hmm.
And then even Act 2, I feel like we were feeling great up until the boss. And then it went downhill.
That's the beauty of the game, is you sit there thinking, should I have taken that other card? Yeah. Would that have made a difference?
Which is cool, because I feel like in a lot of co-ops, When you're doing really well, like I'm thinking about Zombicide, for example,
mm-hmm.
you're doing well, and then a bad roll happens and the game's over. And that's not that way in this game.
Right.
Like you could have made different choices
to get to that point. We lost tonight in a very heartbreaking way where it felt very rough. You know what? I think maybe one decision different could have been. It wasn't like we got crushed. It was like, oh,
it was right there.
And there was even a close call where it was like, ah, frick, we thought we had lost like two turns before. But you're like, no, and I can do this and this. And this. Oh, no way. Holy cow. We're going to survive. And then we realized the strength tokens, man.
There was a plus one that took us out.
Oh, man.
Dude, I felt so good about that combo. That's the other thing. So we talk a lot on this podcast about like what's your favorite mechanic. And it's weird because what I'm going to say is in literally every deck building game, the synergies and the combos of figuring out.
Oh, yeah.
Not only like, so obviously that works with your deck because it's built for you. But then when you tie in the potions and the relics and then even other people at the table and the way it can all just sing.
Yeah.
Dude, I've not seen a deck builder that does it like this one does.
And it's cool, too, because there are certain cards where when you upgrade them, you can now do things for the other player.
Yep.
And there are some cards that just have that ability, I guess, to begin with. But man, I really like playing this game multiplayer because it's a fun distraction. You know, it's nice for me, you know, being a dad, you know, working for myself and stuff, always having something going on, to just have a game that I can sit down and play for half an hour when I have some time.
Sure.
That's why I like it so much. But I also just really enjoy the system, too, of it. And so it's really fun now having a board game version where I can sit down. And it is a much longer experience.
Oh, yeah.
But you can play it with other people. And so it's not, you know, kind of in that way where you sit there and play a video game as an adult, and there's a part of you that is having a great time, and there's a part of you thinking, is this a good use of my time? I should rest. That's fine. This is how I am choosing to relax.
Yeah.
It's fine. But I always have that argument with myself. So anyway, it's nice to have, at least you're getting like some fellowship or some social something out of it now.
Well, so I was going to ask you this because I feel like you and I have this conversation more than I do with most board gamers.
Yeah.
But we'll play a game. And you'll say, this would be better as an app.
Oh, wow.
Like, I'm thinking about Campaign Trail, where you were on the podcast.
Oh, 100%.
And you're like, this would be better as an app.
I stand by that.
And you have said, I don't want to play Lords of Waterdeep in person anymore because I like it so much better on the app. And there have been others like that.
I probably have said that, but that might have been in anger. Like, I don't actually believe that one.
Okay.
Campaign Trail, I stand behind.
That's fair. Listen, I'm not here to judge you. I'm leading up to my question of, with Slay the Spire, do you prefer one over the other?
I prefer them for different things. If I just want to play quickly, then the video game. If I want to, this is going to be tough when we get into like whether we recommend this or not, because boy, this game is a beast to set up. Like, you've got to want it. And I think that the people it appeals the most to are people that enjoy the game already. But I think you have to really enjoy the game already to put in the investment to do it all. Like, I remember specifically tonight, there was a time where it was like, are we going to go to this elite fight? And I was like, I don't want to have to set this whole thing back up. Let's skip this elite just in case we
to die
early.
A little farther.
Like, you know, that's not a factor when you're playing the game. You're much more likely to take a risk because you can just reset real quick.
Right.
In the video game. I think they're different things, and I'm grateful that they both exist now. If one had to go away forever, I guess probably the board game, because
you're going to play the app more.
Yeah.
I mean, I get that.
Yeah. Now, you know, as a well-adjusted adult human being, maybe I should say the video game, because at least with the board game,
I get to
socialize and hang out with people.
I mean, I feel like it's a date night for sure.
Oh yeah. I'm excited to show it to her. I'll tell you what, the boys really like playing Slay the Spire. And I always tell them, man, once you guys can read, you're going to really enjoy this.
Yeah. Cause
they just like, you know, they just like grabbing the, whatever card they recognize some of the cards and what they do, but they can't, you know, really read yet. But I always tell them that's like my motivation for them. Like, man, when you can read, you're gonna get past Act 2 of Slay the Spire. Because you can get past Act 1 without reading, believe it or not, in Slay the Spire, the video game.
I mean, I believe that.
If you're lucky, you can pull it off. Anyways.
No, I mean, that all tracks. We did the same thing with the Switch,
mm-hmm.
where they really wanted to play Pokemon games. And they were like, we don't know what's going on. We're just moving around. I was like, yeah, when you learn how to read, you're going to get to read the text and understand. It's crazy.
What do you think? Do you think any of your girls would like this game?
I think so.
Yeah.
I don't know. It doesn't fit like what they've gravitated towards so far.
That's what I'm sitting here wondering.
I don't like, okay. So, well, I'm conflicted because on the one hand, they really like Chronicles of Avel. Which is all about fighting monsters and building it up and that sort of thing.
Right. But it's like a different system.
Yeah, it is different. But yeah, I don't know. I think Faith could be really into it. I don't know if Joy would be ready yet, and Hope definitely not.
Right.
So.
Right.
But it's one of those things where I mean it's co-op, so.
Well, I'll tell you what is nice about the board game too is that like when I've played it with Isaac, who I guess said he would have been 5. Yeah. You know, I can at least with the board game, since we're playing it together, I can read the cards to him and say, hey, you know, here's what, you know, and he, since he loves the video game, he's really into it.
Yeah, I mean, we did a very similar thing with Faith when we did Toy Story for the deck building game with that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And this was back, she had been 4 or 5 herself. And she didn't know how to read yet. So I would read her the cards and be like, okay, here's your 2 options. Like, what do you want to do? So I think she could get into this game for sure.
Yeah. I think that if it's something that a kid recognizes, they'll hang with it more than if it's just, you know, if they're not playing it because of the mechanisms or the system.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's right.
So, yeah.
Well, it's interesting. You know, I'm not necessarily thinking about just for the kids, but I'm thinking about your earlier comment about this game is a beast. I don't want to, from a all the stuff that comes in it, I don't want to downplay that. But man, like having never been introduced to this world and having never, like I have no reason to care about it. I was immediately sucked in, and
that's cool.
I was like, okay, I like the concept behind this character. I know what I want to do. I am going to try this and this. We're going to fight these goofy looking monsters. It's going to be a good time. So I was sucked in. You know, if we had won that second act, I'd be like, do we want to stop? Like, I definitely did not. You know, we always want to play in hopes of being able to kind of refresh ourselves to get ready to talk about it. But man, I wanted to keep playing. Like I was so into it. Yeah. And it was really cool. I was genuinely surprised because I expected to come in and like it, but I really got engaged in a different way, which was cool.
It's got stuff too, where if you want to pause between acts and put your cards away and stuff.
Yeah. So it does have a save mechanism that puts everything back in the box.
Yeah. And it's 45 minutes per act.
Yeah. I would say 45, because it's like you talked about when we were playing. At first, you're learning how to play the game. And then once you've learned that, you're learning how to optimize the game.
Right.
So you're in that 45 minute space.
Yeah. You go from, all right, hang on. So what do I do here? To like, okay, I know what I'm doing. Now, what is the best thing to do here? And so you sit there really thinking about your cards. And every shop, you're looking at everything and thinking through your deck. And
I even felt that shift like the first time we played, where in act one, I'm just kind of like, okay, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. But then by act two, like I'm trying to make all these things work together.
Yeah.
And you know, your brain's picking up the different options and you're like, oh, I see it now kind of thing. So, all right. So with that, are there things about the game that you don't like?
All the setup. I don't really know a way around it, but that was the number one hang up when I first heard about the game.
Yeah.
I said, I just thought through everything in the video game. And I was like, there are so many things that just happened instantaneously that if that was a deck you had to draw from, and then you had to do this and they had to do that, how would you? And I think they've done about as good a job as you can do while still retaining the feel of the game, which I think they did. They've done really well. And playing it with you, you know, as someone who didn't know Slay the Spire, and just seeing that the light bulb in your eyes as you're like, oh, wow, and then I can do this and this and this. I was like, yes, that's what makes this game so fun, is realizing, holy cow, I didn't even realize the combos I had. Or sitting there with a hand of cards and thinking, we're screwed. Yeah. And then saying, wait, hang on. What if I played this card first?
Yeah.
Oh, shoot. No, we're good.
Yeah.
That all is great. And it just means that there's a lot of decks you've got to shuffle through. It's just a big table hog. I think this game is good for people who have a dedicated space, love Slay the Spire, and don't know, because I mean, that said, when I get done playing and I put the game away, it really doesn't take that long.
I was
all
impressed.
Things considered,
I was very impressed at Teardown.
Yeah.
I was sure. So one of the mechanics of how you upgrade your cards, every card is sleeved.
Right. Yes.
And so when you upgrade it, you're essentially flipping it, and the other side has the upgrade, and then you're putting it back into sleep. So you've got to not only separate back out your decks, you've got to make sure all your cards are on the non-upgraded side. And I'm like, this is going to take forever.
Yeah.
But it was really quick.
Yeah. And I've got like the collector's edition that has like the mats and everything too. And so it came in this big box. I don't know like the version you get off like Miniature Market or whatnot. I'm guessing the box is smaller, but I know it comes with all those sleeves and everything, because those are necessary to the game.
I mean, I think it can be a little bit smaller without the collector's edition stuff, because I think, like you said, it's mainly the mats and then some upgraded pieces, but those cards take up space,
man. It's still got to be a big boy, yeah.
And I think that that structure of the way that the insert works, so that it can hold all those different cards and organize in a certain way, that takes up the majority of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the box is still going to be a very big size.
I think for what it is, I think they did as good a job as they could with storage and just with maintaining the feel and the theme and all that. But I love playing it so much.
Yeah.
It really is just also, it's just sort of this bittersweet, like, man, now that this is all set up, I don't want to put this away again. I want this game to last as long as it can. I don't want to die. It's like half the disappointment of dying is just,
now you gotta reset.
I gotta reset all this.
But even going from act one to act two wasn't bad.
No.
I mean, everything flows really well. And I think You've said it, but I want to reiterate. They did an amazing job with the box.
Yeah.
Because as I'm like, before I saw it for the first time and I'm just watching the How to Play, I'm like, there are so many freaking cards.
Oh, yeah.
Like, how would you possibly keep this all correct? And for an insert that comes with the game, I was very impressed. So I agree. Some of its shortcomings, it has an insane amount of setup. It has an insane amount of cards that have to go in all these different stacks. But the payoff to me is totally worth it.
Yeah.
And like I said, you don't have many deck builders that have synergy, not only with its own deck, but then with all the other things that you can add to it. Like, it's just so worth it. And I agree, it is a massive table hog. It's almost like this game teeters on being a lifestyle game.
Yeah.
Where this is your game, and it's the one that you usually play, which is fine. Like, I mean, that's got a dedicated fan base already. That's got a lifestyle game in the app. So that makes sense. I will disagree with you slightly. I think that I don't know that you have to be a Slay the Spire fan to like enjoy this game.
Okay. I agree. What I think I will change what I said little bit. And I will say this instead. I think that if you aren't super familiar with the video game, there are a lot of little things in this game that are very easy to neglect or forget about.
That's true. I'll agree.
Having
with that.
The knowledge of the system makes it so that there all these little things, you're like, okay, you know, don't forget that curse deck and don't forget these dazed cards and, you know, okay. And you just have sort of this like, this subconscious, like, okay, and I know, I'm guessing that this is a deck that I have to shuffle, and this deck I don't shuffle that deck, because that wouldn't make sense, because in the game that wouldn't make sense. And you know, there are things that they have changed in the board game version too, but even most of those things, you know, make a lot of sense. So
sure, no, I get behind that, and I think that definitely helps in the barrier to entry, because like we've been saying, it's a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And it's very easy to get overwhelmed by all that stuff and then forget the little minute details.
Right.
But I think once you're in it, man, like, and you get hooked on that first time, like, you're going to be able to pick it up.
Yeah. I hope it's that way for people. I would be curious to talk to somebody who has never played the video game before and didn't have somebody like me to sit there and just like explain the whole thing.
No,
the
that way makes that, sense.
You know what I mean?
It was helpful. I'm not going to lie about that. Okay. Anything else that you don't like about the game?
I don't think so. It's really good. It's one of my favorite games I've ever played, probably.
I think, I don't know. I've gotten really picky about this as I've gotten deeper into board games. Okay, and I think it hits this like nerve of starting to see mechanic replication as we go from like game to game. But I felt like we could have had a little bit more variability in the monsters that were in the same whatever they are. I don't know how that is for the video game. So maybe I'm picking at something that doesn't even make sense for this particular project.
Keep explaining.
So like when we had all three of the cultists.
Yeah.
They more or less did the exact same thing.
Yeah. But those guys, right. Those guys are always together in the video game.
And so I'm guessing in the video game, they do the exact same thing.
Yeah. And so the cultists, all three of them, the difficulty of them is that each turn, the first turn, they don't deal any damage.
Right.
But after that, they get stronger every turn. So you basically have like three turns before they've like souped up enough that they're just going to kill you. So in that way, you know, each set of enemies or each enemy is kind of a puzzle that you have to solve.
Right. I mean, it's not a big gripe. It's just, I've gotten so like wanting that. I want to have that differentiation within the game to where I feel like I'm not just doing this cookie cutter copycat thing over and over again. And I was that way with video games for a long time. Like I couldn't get into Assassin's Creed because I felt like I was just doing the same structure over and over again. I never understood the love for that game.
Me either.
Anyways. And then the most minor of gripes, but I really hope a publisher hears this and never does it. Do not flip your cards vertically when you flip from one side to the other. That is awkward as all get out.
You want to be able to flip them to the side to upgrade them?
Yes. I don't understand. I mean, I'm fine with the sleeves being open on the top.
Yeah.
But when I take it out, I want to do like every other card in existence where I just turn it the other way at a clockwise angle instead of up and down. I don't understand that. It was very weird.
Have you ever played a game like this where there was sleeves in the game And the reason for it was so that you could upgrade the cards because the other side of the card.
Yeah. So Dead Reckoning has this where you're not flipping, but you're adding stuff to the cards. It's almost like Mystic Veil, because Mystic Veil kind of introduced it, right?
So the sleeve is the upgrade.
Well, it's holding the cards because you can have three or four cards within the sleeve.
I gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. So you're like you're boosting the card that you have.
Got it.
So it's still upgrading, but in a different way.
Okay.
But it definitely still has that. Yeah, I liked that better.
That's
than
cool.
Flipping it weirdly like we did in this game.
Yeah, I could, you were angry.
But, well, it's just like, it's already got so much, and it's so...
one more thing to have to think about.
One that could have been avoided. So, anyways, no, that's pretty much it. I'm just kind of grasping at straws here to find something to complain about, because... I really like this game too. So
I love it.
It's so good.
I love it. I do think that the BGD score will come down over time a little bit.
I don't know that it's going to come down that much though.
8.7?
I think it stays above an 8.3.
Well, okay. Well, maybe.
For
yeah.
sure.
Yeah.
I might be so bold as to say an 8.5.
Wow. Okay.
I think it's really good. Like I, short of people who are expecting... this like simplistic process, which I don't know how you could possibly expect that, knowing everything that you can know ahead of time. Like, what are you going to be blindsided by that you're not going to like?
Right. That's true. You're not going to go in as like, oh, this is more than I thought. Like
you're going to see it before you crack the shrink.
Yeah, that's true. And you know, one thing that's cool, which I didn't take advantage of because I knew the game already so well, but the game does include like unlocks, much like the video game, where you're supposed to play as certain characters a certain number of times, and then you unlock kind of the more like complicated cards so that you don't get bombarded and confused the first time you play.
Right.
But I, you know, from the first time we played, I, you know, and even before that, I already just shuffled everything into the game.
When you pointed out to me that was a thing, I was like, I don't care. I don't care about that. Like, the card is not too complicated.
Yeah, you got it from the start.
I didn't even know that was a too complicated. Like, I couldn't have even, like, known.
Yeah.
They're all very smooth.
Yeah. And honestly, it makes it harder to win without those cards.
Because you're not, like, taking stuff out of the monster deck. So you're still getting...
Yeah. And there are ascensions. Once you've beaten the game once, you can go to Ascension 1 and then Ascension 2. And there are extra cards that you add and different enemies that you can add to the game. I didn't add any of that stuff.
And that adds to, like, the feel of the origin of the video game, right? Because you were mentioning
there's, like, 20 different levels.
Man, that's wild.
Yeah, it just gets more and more difficult. So by the end of the game... When you get up to Ascension 20, the final one, in Act 3, you have to defeat a boss, and then you have to defeat another boss, one right after another, without healing.
Whoa.
And so basically at that point, you just have to have a deck that is so broken that you're not really taking damage. Like, you could basically go into the fight with,
you're
like
essentially just killing
20
things.
Health and survive.
Yeah. In this game, that'd be like, what, 3 or 4?
Yeah, basically.
Man, it's still pretty cool, though. I liked what you described to me when we were playing, where I was like, Josh, I just feel like we're going to get to a point where these feel so busted. And you're like, that's the point.
Yeah. That's the last thing that I guess I haven't really talked about, is just the fun of this game is that literally after anything, you get to get stronger.
Yeah.
Every time you go to a room, either you are resting or you're healing. So you're getting stronger.
You're upgrading or you're healing.
Right. You're getting a new card, or, you know, you're getting a new relic all kinds of stuff. It's fun. It feels like, oh, I'm getting more powerful. But then it's also, you know, you might have options where actually I'm just going to remove a card because actually making my deck thinner is going to make it so I'm getting these nicer cards quicker.
Yeah, for sure. Because it's very exciting to keep getting new cards in this massive stack.
Yeah.
But eventually you got to be like,
exactly.
My own deck's starting to feel kind of thick.
Another thing that really, you know, once you get good at the game, is the thing you kind of have to become disciplined about is realizing, oh, a lot of the time I'm not going to take any of these cards.
Sure.
So, and I do think though that in the board game version, I think that maybe you're taking cards more often than you are in the video game version. I feel like when I play the video game, there's a lot of times I'm not taking cards. And in this one, there were a few times I said, I don't think so. And especially when we go to the shops, I was like, man, I don't think I want any of these cards, but,
which is funny. Cause I'm like a kid in the candy shop. Just like, right. Oh, look at all this cool stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're like this amateur
fool.
All right. Well, here on the two top, we do talk about what makes this best for a two player game.
Oh, okay.
So do you have any thoughts on that before I give mine?
I think that it works great as a two player game because there is a lot of back and forth needing to think through things. And I think that with three people, it might get a little too overwhelming. I think at that point you would need to have players who really knew the game well.
Yeah.
Then it would be fun. But God bless you, Ian, I love you. And we would have had fun. We would have had a good time. But I think that if it was two guys who didn't really know the game super well, and then somebody who did know the game well, I think it would have been less fun for me. I don't know about for you guys, but it would have been a little less fun for me.
No, I get that.
I've enjoyed playing it two players with you and with my son and, you know, whoever else.
It feels like in some ways, it feels very much to me like Marvel Champions does.
Okay.
Where I love it at two players. I think it's got everything you're talking about here of team synergy and, you know, you're getting to do this with a buddy and you're taking down this villain together and blah, 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 blah. But then when you get to three or four, it just becomes this overwhelming epic where you've kind of lost some of the magic of working together because you've added too much complexity and you're basically like, okay, well, everyone just do your turn simultaneously because that's how you play. And there's less of like, oh, well, how do we synergize, you know?
Yeah.
So I think it loses some of the magic. I really felt like two just hit it just right.
Yeah.
Like I was really happy with it.
It is nice. They've really implemented it well because you can just kind of do your own thing. Like, okay, I'm going to work on my cards. You work on yours. But there are times where it's like, oh, no, hold on. You stop.
Wait,
hold on.
What
hold
did
on.
You do?
Stop. Take that card back.
Yeah, that's right.
Play this one first. Oh, okay. Yeah. But some turns, it doesn't have to be like that. You know, sometimes it's just like, all right, you're blocking, I'm blocking. Okay, we're done.
I love simultaneous play a lot of times because we can keep the thing moving.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was even a time tonight where you had finished playing your cards and you were looking over my hand. You're like, oh, you could just like, nope, shut up. Let me think about it for a second.
Yeah.
So, all right, cool. All right, with that, grading and final thoughts. So the other thing we do on the two top is we grade with letter grades.
Oh, okay.
And you can do pluses or minus if you want to, instead of just straight A or B or whatever. So,
okay.
What final grade do you give this game?
I'll give it a straight A.
Okay.
I'll give it an A because I truthfully, honestly, don't feel like I have played the board game version enough to give it the A plus of all time. But I do love it so much. I think my enthusiasm for it is making me want to like hold back a little bit. So I'll go with an A.
Interesting. I respect it. I really do. But like for a dude, it's an A plus, man.
Okay.
For a deck builder.
All right.
I feel like it's so good.
Yeah.
And I can't find a lot of fault in it. I also like that there's a lot of variety. You're not necessarily going to see the same bosses and the same.
Oh yeah.
Like there's so much.
Yeah. Deck variability, enemy variability, boss variability,
all of relics, potions, all of that. There's so much of it that like for you to just feel like you're going to play the same game, it's not going to happen.
No, it'll literally. And that's what's wild. I mean, you have to play so much Slay the Spire before you know all the cards well enough to think to have an understanding of like, okay, this card showed up. All right, now I just have to pray that this one shows up or this one shows up.
That's right.
You know, other than kind of that just initial like, ooh, this card seems cool. You know what I mean? Instead of kind of going more into this like military mode of like, okay, great. I need this now. And if I don't get this, then I'm screwed. I got to get rid of this card immediately, you know?
Sure.
Because any card you draw that you're not playing is just trash in your deck. And
that's true.
And it is unforgiving. So I'm glad that I'm A plus.
It really drew me in.
Cool.
The only hesitation I have with wanting to buy this game is I just don't.
When are you going to play it?
I don't live in a time where I have lifetime games.
Right.
Like I jump from too many games to games. So I feel like I'd be doing the game a disservice by having it, because I don't think I could get it to the table enough to justify it.
This game was kind of the point where I said, you know what? I don't even, like, I could just play this. I don't need a bunch of other games sitting around.
Yeah.
And so I just kind of, I was like, okay, now that I've had that thought, I'm going to embrace it and kind of start culling things. Well, so in that way, I appreciate it even more.
It is very interesting thinking about that, because, you know, as we do the podcast, that almost feels impossible.
Yeah. I know, because you
jump from game to game, and you're always wanting to look for whatever, you know, you can talk about next. And
right.
But there are times where like Ian and I don't play Marvel Champions as much as we used to, because we're doing that.
Yeah.
And so it's a different dynamic for sure.
Yeah. Got to keep it going.
It's all about what you love, man.
That's right.
So
it's like a sinking sand.
Yeah.
He's trying to stay above the sand.
That's right.
Keep breathing.
Yep. But anytime I'm over here and you're like, hey, you want to play? I'm going to say yes. Because I think
anytime
it's
you want to play Slay the Spire, you let me know.
Okay. Well, we'll do that. All right. Well, thank you all so much for listening. If you have feedback or want to give us your thoughts on the game, we would love to hear from you. Links to our socials are in the description. If you don't like socials, I get it. Check out our website at thegametablepodcast.com. Shoot us an email at thegametablepodcast@gmail.com. Or find us on BoardGameGeek. All these links are also in the description. 5-star reviews, subscribing to your podcast player of choice, following us on socials, and joining the conversation on Discord. These heroic actions are immensely helpful in growing this podcast. Special thanks to Angie Santiago for our cover art, to Anna Snyder, who made the intro and outro music, and to Alexi Chistolin, who made the How to Play background music. Join us next week as we head back over to the feature table. In the meantime, may your dice rolls and your card draws be blessed, and your experiences at the table be ones to remember forever.